Thank you very much for that beautiful prelude. And again, I welcome you to the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, and we're glad that you're here with us today. I have several announcements that I would like to give to you, and the first of which is Dina Barwick is continuing to lead the Bible study using the Serenity Prayer, and you can zoom in to Zoom for that Bible study. It is Tuesday, September 15th through October 6th, and it's from 2 until 3:30. And you can also, if you choose in person, to come to the Camellia Room here at the church for that. So we look forward to having you participate in that Bible study. We also have the announcement of our free Saturday movie, which will be Saturday the 3rd, and that's at 11 a.m. It is a PG film called Maleficent, and you're welcome to come for that movie, invite your friends and family. Of course, our capacity is limited, so keep that in mind. Be there first, not last. And then continuing, we have on Sunday in our community is Rescue Sunday, and that is being held at the Grace Point Church down on the Boulevard, Rescue Sunday. This is an event that they're collecting items such as quilts, blankets, hoodies for children age 2 to 17, toothbrushes, toothpaste, sounds like personal care kits. And this is all regarding honoring and praying for children who are stolen every day for slave labor, sex, and organ harvesting. So a very important endeavor. And lastly, for announcements, I have that our Parents' Night Out will resume on October 23rd. So that's 23rd of October for Parents' Night Out. And that concludes our announcements. And that will bring us in to our service. And so if you will join with me in the call to worship, please. It's on your Zoom screen. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And now if you'll join in singing the Spirit Song, number 347. And a reminder that you should continue to share your joys and your concerns. You can share those via email to prayer@ukaipamethodist.org or call the office 797-1143, and you can speak with Linda and leave your prayer request with her, and the prayer warriors will pray over your joys and your concerns. And that will bring us to our unison prayer. If you'll please join with me in the unison prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, grant us wisdom to acknowledge our weakness and faith to rely upon your power. By your command, closed doors are opened wide before us. Your touch heals the broken spirits. There is no problem so big that you cannot solve. It is not that your hand is short to save us, but that we linger to call upon you. You are always near that we can draw close to you. May we be ever ready to kneel before you and entrust every matter of unrest into your care. In your name, amen.
Amen. Let us continue to be in the spirit of prayer in silence, remembering all those who need our prayer support. So many firefighters. I heard that there are about close to 20,000 firefighters working in the fires in California. And we want to remember our heroes, all the medical staff, nurses, and doctors who's been battling this terrible virus for a month now. And all those that God placed in our life, we hold them dear to our hearts. Let us lift our prayers together for them in silence. What a relief it is that we have you, who are our refuge and strength. The world out there is in turmoil, and we don't know when this battle will end. But regardless what we see out there, we find peace in your presence. So we come to you during this hour of prayer and worship, and we seek you, we seek your help, we seek the touch of your mighty hand through your Holy Spirit. We seek the touch of the Holy Spirit so that we may be filled with your comfort and your peace within our soul, within our spirit. Because, Lord, you can touch us, you can touch our brokenness like no one can. You only can heal our broken spirit. You only knows what we suffer from deep within us. And you have the power to remove all the troubles out of our hearts that we may see the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We may see the Holy Spirit driving out the dark forces out of our lives. We know, O Lord, when we come to you, we can experience your wonderful presence in our lives. So we come with this desire to be filled with your Holy Spirit, to be filled with the assurance of your presence, to be reminded of the very reality that you are our sovereign God. You hold everything under your control. So to you, O Lord, we recommit ourselves. We entrust all the cares we have in our life. We lift up our prayers for our loved ones, for this community and our nation and the world, asking you, O Lord, that you continue to manifest your power and your presence in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity of pausing and finding rest in you. Even though we may be apart from each other, we are now united as one in spirit, and we want to worship you. We want to praise you. And we want to be blessed as we worship together. So as we lift up our praises, our thanksgiving, our prayers, our concerns, we acknowledge once more that you have everything under your control. And to that power you have, we submit ourselves and submit all the cares we have unto you. So we acknowledge once more that your will is accomplished as you will in your kingdom. So now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now we will have our young at heart.
Today's story is Brother Eagle, Sister Sky. Paintings by Susan Jeffers. In a time so long ago that nearly all traces of it are lost in the prairie dust, an ancient people were a part of the land that we love and call America. Living here for thousands of years, their children became the great Indian civilizations of the Choctaw and the Cherokee, Navajo, Iroquois, and Sioux, among many others. Then white settlers from Europe began a bloody war against the Indians, and in the span of a single lifetime claimed all the Indians' land for themselves, allowing them only small tracts of land to live on. When the last of the Indian wars were drawing to a close, one of the bravest and most respected chiefs of the Northwest Nations, Chief Seattle, sat at a white man's table to sign a paper presented by the new Commissioner of Indian Affairs for the territory. The government in Washington, D.C. wished to buy the lands of Chief Seattle's people. With a commanding presence and eyes that mirrored the great soul that lived within, the chief rose to speak to the gathering in a resounding voice. "How can you buy the sky?" Chief Seattle began. "How can you own the rain and the wind? My mother told me every part of this earth is sacred to our people, every pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every meadow and humming insect, all are holy in the memory of our people. My father said to me, I know the sap that courses through the trees, as I know the blood that flows in my veins. We are part of the earth, and it is part of us. The perfumed flowers are our sisters. The bear, the deer, the great eagle, these are our brothers. The rocky crests, the meadows, the ponies, all belong to the same family. The voice of my ancestors said to me, the shining water that moves in the streams and rivers is not simply water, but the blood of your grandfather's grandfather. Each ghostly reflection in the clear waters of the lakes tells of memories in the life of our people. The water's murmur is the voice of your great-great-grandmother. The rivers are our brothers. They quench our thirst. They carry our canoes and feed our children. You must give to the rivers the kindness that you would give to any brother. The voice of my grandfather said to me, the air is precious. It shares its spirit with all the life it supports. The wind that gave me my first breath also received my last sigh. You must keep the land and the air apart and sacred, as a place where one can go to taste the wind that is sweetened by the meadow flowers. When the last red man and woman have vanished with their wilderness, and the memory is only the shadow of a cloud moving across the prairie, will the shores and the forests still be here? Will there be any of the spirit of my people left? My ancestors said to me, this we know, the earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. The voice of my grandmother said to me, teach your children what you have been taught. The earth is our mother. What befalls the earth befalls all the sons and daughters of the earth. Hear my voice and the voice of my ancestors, Chief Seattle said. The destiny of your people is a mystery to us. What will happen when the buffalo are all slaughtered, the wild horses tamed? What will happen when the secret corners of the forest are heavy with the scent of many men? When the view of the ripe hills is blotted by talking wires, where will the thicket be? Gone. Where will the eagle be? Gone. And what will happen when we say goodbye to the swift pony in the hunt? It will be the end of living and the beginning of survival. This we know. All things are connected like the blood that unites us. We did not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. We love this earth as a newborn loves its mother's heartbeat. If we sell you your land, care for it as we have cared for it. Hold in your mind the memory of the land as it is when you receive it. Preserve the land and the air and the rivers for your children's children and love it as we have loved it. The origins of Chief Seattle's words are partly obscured by the mists of time. Some call his words a letter and some a speech. What is known is that Chief Seattle was a respected and peaceful leader in one of the Northwest Indian nations. In the mid-1850s, when the government in Washington, D.C. wanted to buy the lands of his exhausted and defeated people, he responded in his native tongue with a natural eloquence stemming from his oral tradition. His words were transcribed by Dr. Henry A. Smith, who knew him well, and that transcription was interpreted and rewritten more than once in this century. Joseph Campbell adapted and brought Chief Seattle's message to a wider audience with his appearance on Bill Moyer's PBS series in the book The Power of Myth. I too have adapted Chief Seattle's message for Brother Eagle, Sister Sky. What matters is that Chief Seattle's words inspired and continue to inspire a most compelling truth. In our zeal to build and possess, we may lose all that we have. We have come late to environmental awareness, but there was a thundering message delivered a century ago by many of the great Native American chiefs, among them Black Elk, Red Cloud, and Seattle. To all of the Native American people, every creature and part of the earth was sacred. It was their belief that to waste or destroy nature and its wonders was to destroy life itself. Their words were not understood in their time. Now they haunt us. Now they have come true. And before it is too late, we must listen. Susan Jeffers.
Thank you, Deb, for that young at heart. And now, if you will join in singing our hymn number 397, I Need Thee Every Hour, and we will be singing verses 1, 2, and 3.
I most gracious Lord, not tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, O. My Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, all life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Thank you. And now that brings us to our scripture reading today. And our scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And I read, "Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, 'Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, 'I do choose, be made clean.' Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one. 'Go,' he said, 'and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing, for a testimony to them.' But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. But he would withdraw to deserted places and pray." The word of God for the people of God. Blessed
be. Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I send warm greetings from this beautiful sanctuary and pray that your worshiping with us may enrich your soul, that the Holy Spirit may speak to your heart and fill you with that spiritual nourishment. A husband and wife from California were driving through Texas. They saw a tornado coming and were terrified. They never saw anything like that in California. The husband pulled the car up to the side of the road. The couple got out and crouched beside it. The twister was moving directly toward them, but at the last second veered off across the field, then hit and totally demolished a small wooden house. The man and woman, still shaking with fright, got up and ran toward the house, which now consisted of little more than kindling wood and a hole in the ground. They looked down into the hole and saw an old man holding on for dear life to a piece of timber, his eyes tightly closed. The woman called down to him, "Hey, down there, are you all right?" The old man opened his eyes, looked around cautiously, and said, "I guess so." The woman asked, "Was there anyone else with you?" The old man replied, "Just me and God, and we were having an urgent conversation." When do we talk to God? In an emergency or when everything runs smoothly? Our natural tendency often dictates that when things look normal and life feels good, we do not feel need to kneel down in prayer, but only during crisis we seek God honestly. How and when do we find time to pray? Do we wait until things slow down and we have enough time to kill? Or when we are swamped with so many things and see hardly any time for rest? When we are so busy, then of course there is no time for break and no time for prayer. We scarcely slow down, which I find true even during the pandemic. So time for prayer is hard to come by. Let's look at how Jesus found time to pray. The gospel lesson is about Jesus healing for a man with leprosy, not particularly about prayer. But it gives profuse insight on prayer. This happened at the beginning part of Jesus' public ministry. According to Luke, the healing occurred right after Jesus called his first disciples. Jesus waited for this very part of his life for 3 decades, and when the time finally came, he was ready to go full speed and undertake everything God intended in his life. We could see a glimpse of this in the healing. In a city, Jesus met a leper who begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose, be made clean." And that's the NRSV, but New International Version like this. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus answered, "I am willing." Healing disease was one major portion of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus would heal people with disease when they asked Jesus' mercy. This particular healing is set apart from other healings because it was the first and only time the leper did not ask for mercy, but said, "If you will," or "if you choose," or as in NIV, "if you are willing, you can make me clean." To this request, Jesus answered, "I will," or "I choose," or "I am willing." In my opinion, this interaction between the leper and Jesus shows the readiness and willingness Jesus had for his ministry. Jesus was willing to heal and transform everyone he met. He was ready to give everything he had for people. Now, his willingness is also found in what happened next. When Jesus healed the leper, he told him to go to the priest and show him that he was made well. Leprosy is not highly contagious, but can be transmitted by close and repeated contact. Because of this, lepers were isolated from societies. By showing the healed body to the priest could examine and send now the priest's previous leper back to his families and friends and end the life of isolation. Jesus not only healed his physical ailment, but also healed his relationship to his communities. Jesus' healing was not just focused on the body, but the relational healing. And I call this a complete healing. He was so willing that he would go all the way. He healed his brokenness in his body, and he healed the brokenness in his relationship. That's how willing and passionate Jesus was. Now, this happened in the city. See how fast the word spread. Verse 15. Now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their disease. Okay, so that's the pretext of what happened next. There's a huge shift between verse 15 and verse 16. Verse 16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, if you read this verse without fully understanding how prepared and enthusiastic Jesus was for ministry, you may misunderstand it and think that Jesus wanted to avoid people. He did not want to heal anymore. He was tired of the crowd. But if we read it with a proper perspective on Jesus' attitude and ministry, that gives us a different perspective and understanding. Jesus was perfectly aware of that he did not have many years to fulfill the task God entrusted unto him. So Jesus was ready to offer everything he had to anyone and everyone he met. As we know, in many other places, Jesus accompanied thousands of people and fed them until they were satisfied. So Jesus was not avoiding people at all. The sudden shift from verse 15 and verse 16 speaks Jesus' increased need to recharge his physical and spiritual energy before a great crowd. More people meant more spiritual energy that Jesus needed. This is what set Jesus apart. Busier Jesus became, he felt increased need of prayer. And that's what the whole whole event of healing speaks about. Now, let us try to place ourselves in Jesus' position. What would we do? We have so many people looking for help from us. We have so many things to take care of. Would we find time to pray? We would not. In our busy schedule, prayer is at the bottom of our to-do list. The problem is our schedule never slows down. As a consequence, it is always difficult to find time to pray. Jesus, however, saw it differently. When so many crowded around him, he felt the need to retreat and recharge in order to take care of more people. Luke's account explains this spiritual truth with unspoken implication. But now there is one, maybe a one hint of it. You know why Jesus said to the leper, "Do not tell anyone"? Have you wondered why he said it? And I would look at the very word in conjunction with Jesus' need of prayer. Why wouldn't Jesus want people to know of his power of healing? He's out in the public already. He did not have any reason to hide that he was a miracle worker. But verse 16 clarifies why he had ordered, "Do not tell anyone," because Jesus needed to be away from the crowd for prayer. That's why he did not want anybody to know. Now, verse 16, it has three important elements of prayer. Now, this verse is very short, and I would like you to maybe put in the memory. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, right? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And now this is how we should pray. I'm going to explain these elements in comparison with the pandemic. The first important element of prayer is a lonely place. During the pandemic, social distancing is critical to rein the spread of virus. With this reason, so many people are working from home. But the social distancing has caused so-called now Corona Blue. You know what that is? The social distancing has taken away a physical intimacy in socializing. But on the other hand, people in confined places crave for their own space. We have the same spiritual need of having our own space where we can be alone with God. This is in line with Jesus' teaching on prayer in Matthew 6. He said, "Do not pray in the synagogues and at the street corners. Go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." In order to pray, we need to put distance from people and get closer to God, which I would like to call it spiritual distancing. How close should we be for spiritual distancing? Well, social distancing, they ask for 6 feet, right? But I would say in spiritual distancing, we gotta maintain 0 feet, zero, so that we could be face to face with God. Secondly, we need to withdraw. This goes hand in hand with the lonely places. Parents working from home during the pandemic need to pause for quiet time and rest. I used to think that working nonstop is a good thing, especially to serve God and others. I had maintained this kind of lifestyle for a decade. Out of this, I was frequently burnt out, which made me question about being in ministry. We all need break so that we could reflect upon who we are and where we are and where we are going. Going nonstop could cause lose of identity and purpose. Now, Mark Twain said an interesting thing. Whenever, he said this, "Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it is time to pause and reform, or it is time to pause and reflect. If you find yourself on the side of majority, if you are swamped with work, you have so many people surrounding you, you have so many things to take care of, then it is time to pause and reflect. And I think that's very true. We need to learn to pause and reflect, however busy we are. Thirdly, how often do we pray? Ask working moms or dad or anyone how often they would need break. They need it every day and several times a day. Setting aside time to pray frequently may be a challenge for so many of us, but think about how often we should break. More the better. There is no time for limit on number of times we should pray. The scripture tells us to pray as often as we could. You know, Paul's advice was pray without ceasing, right? But how did Paul actually pray? There are a couple of places in his letter, in 2 Timothy and the 1 Thessalonians, it described that Paul prayed day and night, or night and day. That's how we should pray, without ceasing. He also said, Paul said in Ephesians 6, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Listen to this story. In May 1996, ValueJet Flight 592 crashed into the Florida Everglades, killing 110 passengers. To determine the cause of the crash, the National Transportation Safety Board needed the plane's black box. That would not be easy to find. The crash had scattered plane debris across a large area of swamp. Dozens of researchers descended on the scene to sift through muck and water as much as 8 feet deep in an attempt to find the black box. Navy experts tried using special technology and detected submerged metal without success. Holding a rope that kept them spayed 3 feet apart, other searchers systematically poked through every square foot of the crash area. After 14 days, they found nothing. Surgeon Felix Jimenez of the Metro Dade Police was one of the searchers. For 14 days, he had prayed for the bereaved families and for the safety of his fellow workers. But on the 15th day, as he took a break, now note in here, on the 15th day, when he had a break, something dawned on him. That's why we need a break. Suddenly, he realized that he had failed to pray for one important thing, that God would help them find the black box. So he asked God for direction, resumed the search, and when he stuck his pole into the water, he hit something metallic. He pulled the object out of the muck, and it was the black box. Jimenez writes in Guidepost, "At the end of the day, I thought of the many days we had spent searching for the recorder, how we must have trumped over it many times, and I wondered why its retrieval had taken so long. Amid the low rustle of sawgrass and the call of a great white heron, I seemed to hear the response." Why did it take you so long? How often do we pray? Do we wait until the last minute? Do we wait until after the failure, after failures? This life we live is not going to slow us down, and it would be always difficult to find time to pray. But as Jesus did, pause and pray is a must. People are compelled to practice social distancing during the pandemic. To maintain our sanity in this crazy world, we need spiritual distancing to come closer to God in prayer. We need often withdraw to lonely places to pray, that we may remain focused on God's purpose in our life, that we may find strength to meet all kinds of challenges on the way. Amen.
As you know, we aren't taking the offering here at our church site. However, you are encouraged to mail in your tithe and offering to the church. Many thanks for your remembering of that. And now Deb Davidson, along with Judy Northrup, will provide our music.
Why should gain from his reward. I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus Christ, how can we give thanks to you for all that wonderful thing that you have done for us? Your sacrifice in Calvary, your sustaining grace all throughout our life journey. Here we give this offering as we humbly acknowledge that you are the source of all the gift we've been given. And we give you as a token of our commitment this offering, that this may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. So receive it and bless it and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take time to be holy.
Take time to be holy. Speak up with thy Lord. Abide in him always, and feed in his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing, his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. Jesus, still trust in His word.
Let us pray. Lord, You have gathered us so that we may be touched by Your Holy Spirit, be filled with the joy of living once more, that we may be recharged to receive strength to continue on. We ask You to bless us as we go from here, that we may go and make difference in the world, in the places You have placed, that we may continue to share the love of Christ. We know that we can do it, O Lord, because You are the provider, and You are always there to help us. So send us forth in Your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. I will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Out.